The word of God is getting heavier and heavier all the time. As my sight goes, I have had a result to get into larger print. If my memory serves me right, I look at you, but I can't hardly distinguish your faces anymore. My sight is that bad. If my insight in part that is identified from God to visualize the scenes outside of this room, it stirs my heart deeply. I see no value in reading our newspapers today, yet I find that I must keep up with the times. There are things that are heard and things that are visualized, both in our daily walk and that which the other medium of bringing to us the news and events over the television. I find myself going deeper and deeper into a spiritual burning uprising. And I hope that you have not been made tired and weary from hearing sometimes those things repeated over and over again, identifying to us who we are, where we are, and what we are. That's only a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the things that we must always have heard to judge and re-examine. Having lived in two eras of time, I rejoice in this fact because I have known the real good things that God has promised. I must testify that those things that are foretold by the scriptures, and by the prophets, and the seers, that God would enrich his people when they turn their hearts fully to him. That where they lacked, he would restore. Where they were strong, he would sustain. Yet from time to time we see those that depart from us, and the burdens of our heart grows heavier as time goes on. These things we cannot dismiss from our minds nor our hearts, but we must be able to rightly adjudge these matters. It's not totally given to us as to time when certain events will take place that are foretold of the scriptures, but sufficient warning has been given to us nevertheless that preparation is the key to our salvation. Short of that which is the story of the sacrifice of our Savior and Master. Sometimes we, in judging the conditions of the world in our own country, a nation that was established by God himself by moving upon the hearts of men to go out to seek places where they could have freedom of speech, freedom of religion and beliefs. And so was the beginning of this nation. And there was evidences of this down through several years of existence, where the leaders of the nation depended upon God. They were not ashamed to speak of it when they addressed the nation. But as time went on, those things that would become evident as prophesied in the scriptures became evident in this great nation. And as time goes on, they become worse and worse as far as departures from depending upon God. Little is heard from our Congress, our leaders of the nation, anything in relation to God. The things they do, the things they say, indicate that they little depend upon God for their understanding. To rightly divide those things that would bring peace and happiness and joy to this nation, and eventually to the earth, other nations that have been so dependent upon us. Now those other nations are turning away because we have turned away from God. I say we because we're a part of this great nation. You and I, sitting in this room or standing as I may be now, can do a little about it. Abraham Lincoln made the statement, something to that effect, that little can we do to change and alter the things that are and have been and will be, but we must do the best we can. That was the meaning of his words at the time. It was 67 years prior to his uttering that wonderful speech. And I would repeat words to that similarity, that 153 years ago, the nation of the Church of Christ came into existence. It brought forth with it the promise of prosperity and happiness and joy when they would adhere to and live by the great and glorious message of the restored truth, and the restored authority given to men that they might be able to reach you as they have. You may not identify men as having brought it to you, but you more overly and properly accept that it was God through men that has brought you this truth. I wonder how often we dwell upon this message and classify it as truth. You know, you read a book, and it don't take long for you to know that it's either truth or fiction. We can, by our frailties of mind, sometimes create a veil. But this wonderful, glorious gospel, to whom we must give allegiance, must never diminish, but should grow in strength, and therefore the necessity of preaching the Word of God. We must be patient if there is repetition in the teaching. Because if you would examine them and in your memory go back, if you can, if you have dwelt upon them long enough that you can retain them now, and go back and use some of the admonitions you have received that have been brought to you in times past, they will help you to adjudge yourself, your abilities, and your talents, and know that they are meant for the purpose not alone of yourself, but for the benefit of your fellow men. No talent is given to you just for your own aggrandizement, and no great thing evident in your life is meant for you alone, but for the betterment of your fellow men. You could not do this without this word, which I'm going to dwell upon at least and repeat some of the things that's been brought to you of recent time. I shed tears because of the joy there is in telling of these things that are essential to your soul. I go back to my youth and I remember songs. And they have become also familiar to you. I find in page 109 these words of a song. Sometimes light is rather confusing to me also. The Spirit of God, like a fire, is burning. The latter-day glory begins to come forth. This is page 109. The latter-day glory begins to come forth. Difficult me to find the words. The visions and the blessings of old are returning. The angels are coming to visit the earth. The angels. When have we known of an angelic presence that you recognized as such? Yet they've been watching over us. They've been around and about us. For the power and gift of the Holy Ghost to us is to lead, guide, and direct us into all truths. And that is brought to us many times by angelic message, even the presence of one whom we don't recognize necessarily. For we're told in the scriptures that we must always be careful and aware lest angels come to us unawares. And we might have rejected them. They come to the door and knock. And you open the door to something that you reject because you can't understand it. When I say you, I mean the people at large, God's creation. And yet, many times, an angelic presence has opened your door. Maybe not materially, but spiritually. You have sought for blessings. They have not been misdirected, but they are there. You may not have felt them to come in the way that you have desired it to be. Every prayer, short or long, that has ever been uttered by man, not alone ourselves, but everybody, God has heard and has answered according to his will. None has gone unheard or turned aside. Your prayer, as it has been said sometimes, my prayer goes no higher than the ceiling or no higher than my head, but that prayer is of value to God. And it don't have to go any higher than your head or the ceiling that covers you. But the prayer is necessary in order for you to reclaim, and that is the thing today, to reclaim the old glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ and return to the old paths and walk in them. Not alone my bad eyesight, but those tears just cover my anything I want to see. The Lord is extending his saints' understanding. He's extending our understanding. You and I understand the gospel of Christ and those things that pertain to our soul salvation far and beyond that which is outside these walls. For they little know what we have been taught and which we have received, but sometimes haven't used advisedly. Restoring their judges as and all as in at first, the knowledge and the power of God are expanding, and the veil or the earth is beginning to burst. We call in our solemn assemblies in spirit to spread forth the kingdom of heaven abroad, that we through our faith may begin to inherit the visions and blessings and glories of God. On page 113, are words that even greater emphasis is given to this restored gospel. We come with joy the truth to teach you, to sow the seed in every heart. We hope the evidence of truth may reach you, that from all error you may part. Receive ye the word as taught by the Lord, who came to the world to save you, the one blessed way, which if we obey, will lead us to his throne. How many times we have sang that, and because we are familiar with it, we don't give the intent thought to it as we should. For you know very well that many of our songs are prayers. Many of them are testimonies, and this is one of them. We hope in every land God lightens, true, honest-hearted souls may find, with such the hope in Jesus brightens. No tale of evil clouds their minds. Astounding. And yet outside these walls, that is the prevalent thing that enters into the minds of men and destroys their ability to even recognize God. And even the grass that grows is of God. Little attention or none is given, and no honor comes to him. With such, the hope of Jesus brightens. No tale of evil clouds their minds. The gospel is sent. Be faithful and repent and baptize, and the Lord will save you. This is a song we sang to whoever might be in our midst that had not as yet enjoyed themselves with this great and glorious gospel in the Church of Christ. Such principles as these we cherish. The laying on of hands with the rest. For not one single word shall perish from the law's design to make men blessed. For even the dead, our Master has said, shall rise by the power that saves you. Them to meet us again in the gathering when we stand before his throne. I choose to read from our scriptures in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. About something that has occurred of not too far time past. Our own experience and that which we have heard of through others are brought to us and our attention in this chapter. I'm going to read in particular the 14th verse. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. This is a condition that is a movement that cannot be identified as far as its expansion, its growth, how far it is extended into the thinking and the hearts of men. I've often referred to quotation of one who had looked into the matter carefully, and this is old statistics, really. It has grown far beyond that now. But within the state of California alone, there's 2,400 different religious denominations. All are not Christian, but they're religious denominations. They have a religion just in California. And I've encountered many of them. Some I have gone into and sat in their midst and heard and witnessed. The gospel is taught in a great share of the Christian churches today. The Methodist, the Baptist, the Presbyterians, and so on, of that nature, of the Reformation. The gospel is taught, but not the gospel in its fullness. And that is the thing that has endangered the souls of men to this extent, that they may be satisfied with only that which they have received and search no farther. And that is the danger to the souls of men. How grateful we should be to our Heavenly Father that He has so pursued us that when we have examined His Word and listened to His Word as taught from the pulpit and however it may have come to us, He then improves upon our ability to understand and to see. The visions and blessings of old are returning. I heard that song when I was but a young lad. Can we say that is truth today? Are they here? Oh, yes, but some of them are just out of reach. They're out of reach only by the failure of our prayers being as sincere to this point as they should be. The dedication, the giving of all, if you would identify it that way, to know that as a result of our works that we perform, souls will be moved as they witness. And as they witness the kind of people we are, they are more apt to listen when we speak. How many times can you testify of those that have come in to our midst, strangers to us, and for some reason or another, however they may have been, it may have been at your invitation, but a stranger to this, the gospel, and strangers to us as a people in our assemblies, they have gone away from here and have remarked, they are a wonderful people. I felt good. I felt at home with them. This should be and could be, and it is, to a very great extent, but not to its fullest, that which will cause them to return and to seek not the visual, but to seek that which is hidden, which is declared from the pulpit of His church. That we reach out to them with that, that the missionaries will be able to extend their labors and pursue the avenues that have long been lost and unused anymore. What would you people think if I would suggest to you that by reasoning together, you decide to call in some outside evangelist, one of our evangelists? We have one or two here. But to call in an outside one and ask them if they would come in and hold a series of meetings of 2 weeks' endurance at least, maybe three. And there, for them to declare from the beginning to its end the story of the restoration, so that the people can not only hear a smithering of it, as we use our vernacular of the day, but to receive it in its fullness, which is lacking outside. Good people, honest people, dedicated people, know only in part. And it's up to us, the Church of Christ. Not just us, we here, but the Church of Christ. You tell what you have heard here to others, and how you have felt by it, the instruction you received, the counsel, and what you felt, how you felt about it, and let them know. Now, just supposing that you would do that, It was in the era when the church expanded to at its greatest speed. We had people come in, dedicated their lives, and are still dedicated. And they found it by attending a tent meeting or coming to a series of lectures that are given that defines what is the restoration. What is this that we have and hold in our hands? But the power to persuade men, which those who have thus declared these words have the power to move upon the hearts of the souls who would listen. And it gives them understanding. But we're not reaching out. I just do not like to present my experiences entirely as a testimony. But should I do so, it's a testimony that others have, as I have had. The visions and blessings of old are returning, and it says that even the dead were raised. This I've seen. I've seen every act on the ordinances and the provisions that God has made for making our people know what joy is, and happiness and peace. I've seen them, those things that make that evident among us and our people. There's not one lacking in my experience, in my missionary work. I have not been one who dwells much upon baptizing people. I'd just as soon somebody else would do that. For Paul has said in one way that he taught the word, another watered, but God planted. And so it is with the teaching of the word. We need to reach out and plant this word and that is planted in our hearts and sow that seed to others, that we may have therefore the promises of God come alive again unto us, and see our young brother so crippled, deformed, rise in the full strength of health and strength and mobility through the power of our faith. Oh, you say you can't go beyond the will of God. And I believe it's wrong for us to say, and then leave it there, thy will be done. Because there's something that we may have come short of in really reaching deeply, profoundly into the heart of God, that he sees and knows what our inside thoughts, our righteousness, that he could not deny such things being an event in our lives, of seeing those that are crippled and maimed and blind restored to health, seeing crippled hands open up under the power of God. Seeing the sick and those that are lame walk out into the room healthy and well, when those who had been called to administer to them, the answer was given, because the faith, the trust, and the submission was evident, so strong that God had to answer and fulfill his promise. But we have become weak, so that doctrines of men are heard more often. And we say, well, I don't pay much attention to it. But you know, you'd be surprised how many people have said they've got more feeling out of listening to some preacher over the television or over the radio than they have of going to our own. They have said, he's long-winded, and after a while I get my mind is can't receive what he's saying, and it's lost to me. They can't stand a long sermon. You know, for years I was noted as being a very long-winded preacher. I may be that today, I don't know. But if God inspires my mind to direct counsel to you, I hope that you will not be weary of mind and spirit, to understand. It is so highly important for us to listen and let no thing prevent our minds being brought off into some other direction that we cannot hear. We may be weary of body. But Paul preached so long that the person fell out of the window. Apparently went to sleep. Well, one might say, well, if he'd have been preaching with all the power that he can, why they wouldn't have been asleep. No. No, there's a purpose in that testimony borne in to us through the scriptures that we are taught to endure. We're taught to examine carefully that we might not be carried about with every wind of doctrine that comes along. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, is something to that effect in Paul's having taught Timothy. That's the 2 Timothy, by the way. Perhaps I'll read the very beginning of the chapter, 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, and read just a few verses. I charge thee, therefore, before God. That should awaken us. Just that. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I charge you. Even this large print sometimes hard to determine. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Do you know that there are times that when one who is teaching can be made weakened by the fear that what they should say might move people to shun that word, become disturbed and upset. And Christ himself said he didn't come to bring peace. And sometimes the words we hear isn't always peaceful to us. But when we examine it carefully, there must be a reason. Because it is the word of God, regardless of who says it. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. At all times. Reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. This has been our experience from sometimes departures. Over the years, too many times has there those things come that we have not judged aright. We have trusted in the arm of flesh. And the first thing you know, though they may have been a powerful teacher, a powerful speaker, and moved upon by God time and again, yet that does not mean that they're going to always remain that way. And that's the one that Satan tries his best to enter in and destroy. And so it has been down through the ages. It's not only the teachers of the word, but it is the laity, the people that sit and listen, that are the body. Each one in their separate place. And we cannot trust in the arm of flesh. We must trust in the word that the arm of flesh delivers to us. That is true. We must examine it carefully. You must pray and seek for discernment. Discernment is not necessarily always a gift. Discernment is a valued part of all of us. It should be. There are those that have the gift of discernment. It is a gift that God has given toward an individual to discern for the welfare of his people. But it is your personal privilege to know discernment, to know the right from the wrong, when to do and when not to do, when to sing and when to withhold. Pray for this, that we might grow, and then when our desires to become so committed, it will be complete and absolute without any equivocation. We must do so. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He's talking to Timothy. That's the advice that Paul gave to Timothy, to endure afflictions and do the work of an evangelist, to make full proof of his ministry, of thy ministry. You know, God could take any one of our young men throughout the whole of the church, any one of them, regardless of what your opinion of them may be. You may have looked upon them and some thought has come into your mind that when you're concerned about the priesthood being more full, that we might have more to send out, evangelists, the apostles, and the prophets might be more evident, to prophesy of that which is evident, maybe because we have erred, or prophesy of that which is good because we have been righteous indeed. But the fear of man in later years, by whatever reason I can't understand, has caused men to hold their seat and they refrain from speaking and identifying to one or another to a group. That God wants you to hear, and therefore gives counsel and admonition. He gives rebuke, and he gives you a pat on the back, so to speak, quite often, and you feel encouraged as a result. This is important to us. It's advisable that we seek it from the depth of our heart and the depth of our prayer, concerned about this that we lack so much today. Because through it we will be able to endure afflictions. Through it we will be able to do our work more capably. That our evangelists will be able to go out with confidence and trust in God. He'll open the doors where debts can be removed in such an astounding way that it's hardly understood. I had considerable debt, wife and I. We had several children. I'm not going into what we gave up, but I only say this. It's astounding in this respect as to how you're able to do this thing and have those debts alleviated and go out with the full promise that God would be with you as he was with Samuel of old. Be not afraid. For I will be with you always, even unto the end. Samuel was afraid. And those are the words that he heard the Lord speak to him. And only can it be described by your personal understanding and feeling and knowing it for yourself. I can tell you about it. But you must know it for yourself, and that is what you should seek for. That complete, absolute understanding that will enable you to leave your home, your family, and go out with the confidence that God is going to take care of them and make it possible that they can be fed and clothed, and your debts, as they encumber, shall be alleviated. I don't mean he's going to just wipe them out, but he'll make it possible for you to understand how to do it yourself. I would to God that every young man and every man in this church could understand and know that God makes it possible. And it's not for any one of us to say, well, he's capable and he is capable, but this one is not. I don't believe that God would ever call him. And yet that has been a thought in many of those who are the leaders of the church. We are running before God. And this is one of the dangers that have encompassed us today. We cannot tolerate it for an instant and let our own thoughts judge who is worthy and who is not in the respect to what God sees and wants them to do and to be. He'll make it possible if you give your heart wholesome and full. Ambition is good. It even says in the scriptures, it's good if one desires the office. In other words, the ministry. It's good. But it doesn't mean that they have the talent to preach. They have it in their hearts so much. I'd like to tell this story with authority. But I've seen down through the ages men that had no more gift of teaching than some little 3-year-old child. But the might and the power that existed in their hands as they reached out to administer to the sick and the afflicted in the hospitals and in their homes was magnificent, far beyond the ability to be an orator. There's a place for everyone, a place for everyone. Seek it out and to know your place, and when you have found it, go out with the fullest strength that God will give to you, because you have measured your life and found yourself weak and need his guidance and direction. You build up in confidence. You build up in trust. Not to the extent that you go thoughtless. As I found out, I had received so many good things from our Heavenly Father that I got to a point where I had little thought for what I was going to be taken care of. I had no thought about it at all. I didn't even think to pray for protection along the highways. And then suddenly it happened, not to my disaster, but something awakened me to the thought that I must depend upon God and not go forward until I have sought him first for guidance. I don't have time enough, and that's another thing that's regrettable. Sometimes we have so much to say and our thoughts are broken up and they just go with the wind, and things that might have been heard are not so. Someday, it is our hope that we will endure sound doctrine. We will not have itching ears to hear what we want to hear, or teachers that desire to hear the tinkle of the silver in the collection plate. But we will endure sound doctrine. And that which we hear will not be itching to hear anything but truth. And then pray God that we may rightly divide that truth, not listen to the fables of men. Jeremiah 6 and 16 is one of the most wonderful admonitions that can be given to man. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. What did I leave out? Those that were following along, what did I leave out when I read that? And see. You know, those words right there may be the crux of this whole verse. Thus saith the Lord, stand thee in the ways and see. And ask ye and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Somebody else had something to do. To make one happy. I did go forth and partake of the fruit thereof, and I beheld that it was most sweet above all that I ever before tasted. Yea, I beheld that the fruit thereof was white, to exceed all the whiteness that I had ever seen. And I partook of the fruit thereof. It filled my soul with exceeding great joy. Wherefore I began to be desirous that my family should partake of it also. Let's broaden this out, not to his personal family, but broaden it out to the family of God. I lost my place again. Filled my soul with exceeding great joy. I was began to desire that my family should partake of it also, for I knew that it was desirable above all other fruit. And as I cast my eyes round about, that perhaps I might discover my family also, I beheld a river of water, and it ran along, and it was near the tree of which I was partaking the fruit. We know that the description later on given of this, that the water is evil. And I partook, and I looked, and behold, from whence I came, it came, and I saw the head thereof a little way off. And as at the head thereof I beheld your mother Sarai, and Sam, and Nephi, and they stood as if they knew not whither they should go. And I beckoned unto them, and I did also say unto them with a loud voice, that they should come unto me and partake of the fruit which was desirable above all other fruit. And they did come unto me and partake of the fruit also. I was desirous that Laman and Lemuel should come and partake of the fruit also. Wherefore I cast mine eyes towards the head of the river, that perhaps I might see, that I might see them. And I saw them, but they would not come unto me and partake of the fruit. And I beheld the rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. This rod of iron has been referred to, as I said, in several sermons lately, which is determined to be the word of God. And I also beheld a straight and a narrow path which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood, and it also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And they did come forth and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And there rose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they who had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost. This, we don't have to go far in our memory to know that this has been an experience in our life. And I beheld others pressing forward, and they came forth and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron. And they did press forward through the midst of darkness, clinging to the rod of iron, even until they did come forth and partake of the fruit of the tree. And after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree, they did cast their eyes about as if they were ashamed. And I also cast my eyes round about and beheld on the other side of the river of water a great and a spacious building. And it stood as it were in the air, high above the earth. And it was filled with people, both young and old, both male and female. And their manner of dress was exceeding fine. And they were in the attitude of mocking and pointing their fingers towards those who had come at, and were partaking of the fruit. And after they had tasted of the fruit, they were ashamed because of those that were scoffing at them. And they fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. Going about and listening to every wind of doctrine, the old path. You sing the old path, which was given by inspiration to our sister years and years ago. It was also, when the words was given, the music to it was also given by the Spirit. So it's identified positively that it is the intention of God for us to understand what that song, the words of that song, means. We sing it now through familiarity. I accept that many of us ponder the words as we sing them, but by familiarity, sometimes we neglect to see that there is something that may be counsel to us for that moment. The old path. And you know this story, it is found in 2 Nephi. It's 1 Nephi. How can you grab hold of the rod of iron except that you walk in the old path? Let us seek out the old paths and walk in them and see, is my prayer.